Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in. Final score in Week 13, the Broncos 20 and the Jaguars 10. Broncos now 8-4. The Jaguars fall to a record of 2-10 on the season. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be in shortly. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley as well. Jeff Loggeman standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. Bad day for the Jags offense overall. The defense for the better part of this game kept them in it. Only allowed really 13 real points in this game. After the final fumble, the field goal set it up there. But in theory, 10 points. Turnovers, two interceptions, one back to the house, the fumble at the end. There's your ball game.
Yeah, the defense was outstanding today, with the exception they hurt themselves when Telvin Smith got called for roughing the passer on the Broncos' touchdown drive in the first half. And, you know, then you had a 15-yard penalty later on that helped them tack on that field goal. But really, you're right, JP, probably 10 points is what they realistically allowed today. How many times did they get the Broncos off the field on third down, time after time, to the point where we all agreed that was the right play to punt the ball away with so little time left in the game, because you just felt like, once again, you're going to get a three and out of the Denver Bronco offense. But unfortunately, another pick six for Blake Bortles, and then a fumble in the pocket. The ball got knocked right out of his hand, and you know, a couple of critical mistakes. It's a game that's that close. Now, look, Paxton Lynch did not have a good game. Even when he had time to throw, he was off target today, so he helped them out a little bit. But this is a game that was, once again, there for the Jaguars to win, even shorthanded, and they couldn't take advantage of it.
We'll get to the full EverBank stats check coming up a little later, but here's a preview. Denver had 206 total net yards in the game, and they were 1 of 13 on third downs. I don't know many teams that win with stats like that, even in a grinded-out game like this.
What was it? Was it KC who had the 1 for 14, on third
there
down?
There you go. And that's,
so,
again,
2 for 27.
I can't think of many,
and
but that's one.
And you come away with 2 wins, right? I mean, right. You're right, though. They're so infrequent, and it's happened twice now to the Jags in about a month and a half. It's absolutely crazy.
So the Jags fall to 2-10. They're eliminated. That's 7 consecutive losses now for this Jaguars football team. And a tough way to do it today. The 11th pick six in the career of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. The other interception in the game, you know, tip ball, and, you know, that's one that's just an unfortunate situation. The pick six is a ball you can't throw.
Yeah, the pick six was a terrible throw. But I will say this, Blake didn't get helped out on the Allen Robinson, did juggle that ball up in the air, and he also had a couple of key drops. Brian Walters had one on third down that would have moved the sticks, there were, you know, a couple of instances where the receiver's not helping him out. But, hey, look, I'm not making excuses for Blake. It was a bad day, again, because we've seen this before from Blake, healthy or not. But you got to wonder, the shoulder, which he fell on, diving for the first down, which was a great play by him. You wonder if it did impact his accuracy. But he's been missing guys high this season anyway. So it's really hard to tell how much it was injury-related and how much it was just Blake.
We're going to go inside the Jags locker room momentarily. Gus Bradley will have the first word with the Jaguars head coach. Jeff Loggeman is there right now with Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, great job by your defense in today's ball game, but offensively, you guys just weren't able to get it done against arguably one of the best units in the league, the Denver Broncos defense.
Well, we knew going in the game it was going to be two strong defensive performances, and we needed to move the ball, and when we had opportunities, we needed to cash in. We did once. We didn't enough. We had some turnovers, and, offensively, I mean, against a good team like this, you had to take care of the ball. But defensively, we didn't get any. Special teams, we didn't get any turnovers for our offense as well. So it's all three phases have to take responsibility.
And your offense, the pick six by Blake Bortles, did you get a chance to see that on the replay? It looked like he had a guy that was right there in front.
Yeah, you know what? Looked like it was tipped, or they just made a good play on that. And we've got to make good decisions. And when you really want to press and you want to make things happen for your team, but we just, like I said, it goes all across the board. Got to get protect. Got to make good decisions. And plays like that can happen. I liked how we bounced back. We just didn't have enough.
After that pick six. The defense had five possessions before the offense got it back again, where they turned the ball over again. But on those five possessions, the Denver Broncos only gained 34, 35 yards, and your defense forced five punts.
Well, and that's what we're talking about. That's what we needed, to get a lot of opportunities for our offense. I think the time of possession, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it went in our favor. But again, the defense, we just challenged them. We have a high standard, and it's about getting takeaways and giving more opportunities for our offense. And, I look at the stats, and those are all good things that we can point on and lean on. But it was a total team effort. We didn't get it done today against a good team.
Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Gus Bradley, just outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back and have our first visit with Fred Taylor of the afternoon. The final score, 20-10. The Broncos are now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10 in the loss. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. Final score of 20-10. Broncos over the Jaguars in Week 13. We go inside the locker room. Jeff Loggeman has Malik Jackson. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Malik, a game against your former team. I mean, defensively, you guys only gave up 10 points. It's got to be disappointing from that aspect.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. You know, as a defense, we went out there and played a hard-nosed game. Obviously, we didn't do enough to win, so we just got to keep working, you know. But the things we did do well today, you know, I know we kept them. We did good on third down and some other things, but just wasn't good enough again today.
How is the locker room when you have, a game like this, and you've had games like this in the past where the offense is struggling to find ways to score points and the defense is doing everything but getting takeaways?
I mean, it's tough, but at the end of the day, all we can do is control what we can control. Obviously, you know, we're doing good in a lot of areas except getting the ball away from teams, and that's one thing we need to start doing better. So, you know, it's just a tough day at the office, man, you know, because like you said, as a defense, we did well, but, you know, if it's not about one phase. It's about three phases going out there and playing 60 minutes, and we just didn't get it done today.
Today was certainly something unique to the NFL. It's never been done before. It's called My Calls, My Cleats, and today you had a special pair of cleats on. What did you have on your cleats, and what does it raise money for?
Today I was blessed enough to be able to wear my my charity, which is Malik's Gifts, and it pretty much helps veteran military families who are in need, you know, just financial help. I like pit bulls, so I did animal shelters, at-risk youth, and two other things I'm kind of lost in words right now. So just some things I want to give back to community, really help out people that, you know, give me so much, and really the military that allows us to go out here and play this game and have no worries on homeland. So it's just a blessing to be able to give back to the people that help us so much.
All right, thank you, Malik.
Thank you, guys. Go Jags.
Malik Jackson in the Jaguars locker room with Jeff Loggeman. Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey back with us, 20-10 the final. Fred, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up, Freddie?
You know, we were talking earlier about it. This is one of those that's similar to a couple of the scripts earlier in the season. You got them off the field on third down, held them to just over 200 total yards. The turnovers bite you again, though.
Yeah, that was the theme, even in pregame. We talked about the turnovers. We, Christian and I, up in the stadium, we were talking about this was going to be a defensive battle, which it was for the most part. But, again, if you're not going to have a plus on the turnover margin ratio side, you're not going to win many games. I don't know if I've ever seen a situation where a defense held a opposing offense 1-for-13 on third down and lose a game.
Well,
a month ago, the Jags held Kansas City to 1-for-14 on third down.
I said the same thing earlier, Fred, and he said the same thing. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable, man. Like Malik said, you're at a loss for words a lot of times trying to find the right things to say. The defense played their hearts out. That unit has played really well in several games, especially when they're not giving up the big plays. But just got to continue to build on that. The young guys stepped up. They played hard, and they did some things today that won't show up in the stat book. But I saw guys playing smarter out there, and Fowler is one of them. So I just want to see them build on that and continue to move forward. Offense. That's another story. Those guys got to find a way to make it happen because no one's going to feel sorry for them.
Starts with the quarterback, right? 19 of 42 passing today, 181, two interceptions, one back to the house, a 37.9 rating today for Blake Bortles. You know, and that's – what else can we say about Blake's performance, and where do you go from here if you're number five?
he has to keep going. I mean, if you're going to be the leader of a NFL organization, everyone is going to look at you as a quarterback, and they're not. You can't falter. You just got to keep on, you know, plugging away. And there's a few games left, but they're going to evaluate you. You know that the organization is. So he has to show them what he's made of, in the midst of this adversity. Go back to the drawing board and see where he can get better. See if certain passes were ill-advised, you know, or the high throws, as Mike, you said it, that has to stop. We've seen a lot of those, that has to stop. So he's just got to go back, man, and see what he can do to help the team.
Let's go back in the locker room. Jonathan Cyprian is with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Jonathan, tough game against a football team that has a great defense as well, and you guys trying to match their defense, but that's difficult to do when the offense turns the ball over.
I guess, you know, if we're talking about matching defense for defense, we lost in a way because they created two turnovers and we didn't, you know. We believe in our defense. I haven't seen any numbers or anything, but I believe we played the well. We gave our offense a chance, but we could definitely do more. And that's what our coach told us to do. We have to do more and, you know, get that ball.
How frustrating is it to have games like this where you give up 10 points and offensively there's a struggle to find a way to score points, but you guys are still fighting through it defensively and getting better?
Yeah, it's of course it's tough, but, you know, I think that's what's making us resilient. One thing about the whole season, you know, what we've been going through as a whole entire team, the advice that we got from Coach Gus is saying, you know, this is going to make us stronger. And for us to go out there and, you know, put 100% effort, no matter what the scoreboard says, it was 0-0, we're down or we're up, you know, that's I believe that's training us for something in the future.
At 2-10 and four games left to play, a lot of people would say, well, what do you play for?
You know, you play for pride. We know at this point in the season we're playing to, I guess, mess other people's seasons up. And, you know, it's unfortunate for them, but, you know, we have a job to do. And I said it before, we can never go on a field and, you know, play at any other standard because, you know, the game deserves more respect than that. So that's what I'll do, and that's what the entire team will do.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right.
Jonathan Cyprian in the Jaguars locker room. We will come back more with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, including the lightning fast questions for Freddie T. Final score 20-10. The Broncos over the Jaguars. Broncos 8-4. The Jaguars dropped their seventh in a row to fall to a record of 2-10. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Ready to take your game to the next level? Become a pro fan. Only with NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. With NFL Red Zone, you can see every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. And with NFL Network, you get 24/7 coverage of the entire league. Switch to an X1 double play from Comcast and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call 1-800-XFINITY or click today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Geico brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to Geico. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Jags fans. Is your bank guaranteeing high yields on your money? At EverBank, our yield pledge promise guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields available. And that promise is yours when you open a yield pledge checking or yield pledge money market account. So we do the work while your money gets the glory. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a local EverBank financial center or find us online at everbank.com/jags. EverBank is proud to be the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank, member FDIC.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for field goals for Firehouse Subs. You could score a free Firehouse Sub when you register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score, 20-10. The Broncos are still alive in the playoff hunt. They needed a win to keep pace. They're now 8-4. The Jags fall to a record of 2-10, their seventh consecutive losing decision. It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. We start off, Fred, number one, offense. What happened today? Where do you go from here offensively?
What happened today is the same thing that's been happening all year, the turnovers. You turn the ball over, you're going to lose. You're going to decrease your chances of winning. So they got to protect the ball.
What happened today defensively, Fred, is they held them down yardage-wise, but again, didn't create any turnovers of their own. What can they do to force turnovers?
Well, pressure helps. You know, if the guys up front get up there and sort of put the quarterback on his heels, that'll give him an opportunity. And when the ball is in play, the guys on the back end, they have to secure him. That play by the end zone, Ramsey, no way that shouldn't have come down as an interception. They had three guys around the ball.
Number three, four games to go. Team is eliminated. What are you playing for? And are there any guys you want to see down the stretch you haven't seen?
You're playing for pride right now, man. I mean, you're out there competing. Guys should get excited for an opportunity to compete. I mean, this is the greatest level, the greatest sport. Someone I would like to see, I'd like to see Denard run the ball some more. I mean, he's downhill. He's hitting the ball. Then that way, when you evaluate through these next couple weeks, you can make decisions on guys like Chris Ivory, you know, because it's value. The league is about value. You get guys that aren't as expensive, then you can pay other guys to come in and help you out.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers for Freddie T. Yeah, that's the thing. It was a banged-up team coming in today, right, too. Chris Ivory was out. Alan Hearns out. Julius Thomas has been out. Jared Odrick's out. All these guys are out of the game, entering today's game, so you were at a deficit before you even kicked it off today.
Right, and again, that's sort of, for me, it's a long shot. Well, it was a long shot about to make the playoffs regardless. So I think it's a blessing in disguise that gives the scouting department and organization a chance to evaluate the young guys. Let's see what we have. You know, let's see what we can bring back in the offseason, what we might look to do in the draft, depending on where we land first-round draft spot, I guess, selection. So it's a blessing somewhat, but it's also a small curse because those guys aren't there to give you a chance to win.
What do you feel good about right now through 12 games for the Jags? Like, what areas or players that stand out to you that you say, you know what, even though the record's not where we want it to be, these guys are keepers?
With the guys that they've lost on that wasn't there on defense today, and for the defense to go out there and do what they did, you know, I mean, because they played a pretty good Denver Broncos team. And they played well throughout the year, with the exception of a few big plays. They've started fast, a lot of games, and it's unfortunate that they go out there, if they're up first, and they win field position, then they force a punt, and then our offense gets out there, and they relinquish field position. You know, somehow it was a turnover, a pick six, something they would do to give the other team that momentum. But our defense has played well this year. Yeah, you invested in defense, and it showed. It paid off. But, you know, that's the brightest spot for me on the team. And I'd like to see them continue to build on that. The young guys played better. I saw Fowler make some plays. It didn't show up in the stat book, in the stat column, but he was playing above just the X's and O's. You know, peeling off, running with the backs, doing things that didn't allow the other team's quarterback to make a play on those third downs. So these guys are starting to understand and get it, and I like to see more of that to finish the season off. Offense, just got to keep putting guys in there, plugging away until you find something. Blake has to play better. Has to be more accurate.
No doubt about that. That's where it starts on the offensive side. We'll come back with the Bud Light play of the game, the highlights as well. We'll have an Everbank stats check coming up a little later. Final score, 20-10. Broncos win it over the Jaguars in Week 13, and this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The Broncos win 20-10, the final over the Jaguars. Denver now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10. Let's listen to the highlights, including the Bud Light play of the game, and we start out Well, the Jaguars early, they got an early lead. Well, not an early lead, a second quarter lead. The first quarter was scoreless with six punts. Not much going on. Jason Myers had a 47-yard field goal. That made it 3-0 Jaguars. The ensuing drive, though, the Jags defense looked like they got off the field on third down. It was an incomplete pass, but Telvin Smith called for roughing. The quarterback went to the head of Paxton Lynch. The drive stayed alive. There were a couple of long runs on that drive as well, but Devontae Booker cashed in from 6 yards out.
Second and goal from the six. The game was four. They give it to Booker again. Booker tries to spin away, does spin away from the tackle of Telvin Smith, and he's going to pull defenders into the end zone for the touchdown. Telvin had him outside the goal line. He spun, pulled away from it, and then pulled defenders into the end zone. It's going to go as a 6-yard touchdown run for the Denver Broncos.
Made it 7-3 Denver at that point. Jaguars on offense. Tipped ball, back shoulder throw to Allen Robinson was intercepted by Chris Harris, but the Broncos couldn't do anything with it. They went 3-and-out their ensuing drive. The Broncos hit a field goal right before halftime, 32-yarder from McManus, along a punt return and a late hit out of bounds, moved them into position to get an easy field goal, 32-yarder. 10-3 the halftime score. The Broncos had the lead. The Jags go 3-and-out to open the second half, as do the Broncos. And then the ninth play of a drive that was starting to form for the Jaguars, a ball that Blake Bortles shouldn't have thrown, and it cost him dearly.
Two right, one left, 3rd and 4 now from the 49. Shotgun for Bortles. He drops the throw. They blitz. He looks. He fires. That ball's picked off. To the 45, to the 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. That's going to be a pick six. Denver is going to score a touchdown. Bradley Roby, the former Ohio State Buckeye, runs it in for the Denver Broncos.
51-yard interception return for a touchdown, the 11th pick six in Blake Bortles' career. That made it 17-3, turned the game upside down. A couple of drives later, though, the Jags stayed alive in this game. The defense stiffened up and gave the Jags offense some opportunities. This on a fourth down play, Blake Bortles using his legs for a score.
Fourth down and 5 from the 22-yard line of Denver. 17-3, Broncos lead it, 14-10 left in the ballgame. Bunch left, shotgun. Bortles dropping to throw. He's going to scramble out of there. He's going to run for it. He's going to have it to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Blake Bortles into the end zone. Touchdown. A 22-yard touchdown run. And the Jags are in the end zone.
17-10, the Jags within a score. And I'm sure over the next few segments, we'll go through some of the play calling situations over the next few drives. There was a turnover on downs. A 3rd and 10 handoff. The Jags had to punt it away, but each time the Jags defense got the Broncos off the field. Jags had an opportunity late. This last turnover cost the Jaguars the ballgame.
Two left, one right, dropping the throw is Blake. Blake looks. The ball comes out. I think he threw it. The ball came out. The ball is out, and I think they're going to call it a fumble. I thought his arm was moving forward, but they're going to say fumble.
His
Denver ball.
It was Denver ball. It was knocked out when an offensive lineman hit the football, knocked it out before his arm came forward. It set up a 41-yard field goal for McManus. That made it 20-10. The Bortles touchdown run is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. We'll come back with an Everbank stats check. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. 20-10, the final score. The Broncos are now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Hey, Jags fans, Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto Everbank Field, and now game day could start with you through the Everbank on the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. That's everbank.com/prowl and enter today. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's game day, which means some fans are packing up the car 4 hours early, while others wait until just before kickoff. Some fans are wearing their brand new jerseys, while others are wearing the same jersey they've worn since 03, because it's tradition, and why shouldn't they? NFL fans root for their teams differently, but they drink the same beer, Bud Light. The only beer that loves football as much as you do. Bud Light. Raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com. When your medical practice is growing fast and you have more patients than you have room for, you need to start, well, making some room, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new exam tables and stools, x-ray machines, and microscopes quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. 20-10, the Broncos win it at Everbank Field in Week 13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor, and it's time now for our Everbank final stats check. We start off with the team stats, and we've rolled through a few of these already. First down, the Jaguars dominated a lot of categories today. First downs, 19-10 in favor of Jacksonville. Third down conversions, 1-for-13, Denver. 6-of-18 third down conversions for the Jaguars offensively. Net yardage total, 333 for the Jags to 206 for Denver. On the ground, 154 rushing for the Jags, 104 for the Broncos. Passing, 179-102. Penalties, there were some key penalties in this game for the Jags, 6-for-65 yards total, 4-for-32 yards for Denver. A lot of punts, 19 combined punts in the game between these two teams today. Three turnovers, the big key, and time of possession, as Gus alluded to in his interview earlier, they led the way there, 34 minutes and change for the Jaguars today. But the turnovers, and getting off the field on third down, great for the defense, the total net yardage, but the turnovers, 3-to-none. It's now, I believe, minus 18 for the season turnover ratio for this Jaguars team, and that's a big reason why this team is 2-10.
Yeah, Blake Bortles had those three turnovers today with the two interceptions and the fumble. He was 19 out of 42 for 181 yards, only averaged 4.3 yards per attempt on the not getting the job done. There, I told you a couple of picks and his QB rating just under 38 on the day. You contrast that with Paxton Lynch. 12 out of 24 for 104 yards. Very similar to Blake last week, with the exception that he didn't throw any touchdowns against the Jaguars defense, but he didn't turn it over either. Capri Bibbs led the way on the ground for the Broncos with 5-for-49. Devontae Booker, 10-for-35 with a touchdown. For the Jags, T.J. Yeldon went 14 carries, probably a little bit more than they were hoping to give it to him today, for 55 yards, just under 4 yards a pop. Denard Robinson, 17 carries for 53 yards, just over 3.1. Blake Bortles ran it twice, including a 22-yard touchdown run, 29 yards on the day. Neil Sterling, your leading receiver for the Jags today. 5 grabs for 43 yards. Marquise Lee had 3-for-34. Brian Walters, 3-for-31. That's the same total for Allen Robinson on the day. Demaryius Thomas caught 6-for-61. Emmanuel Sanders, 3-for-28 for the Denver Broncos. Defensively for the Jags, Telvin Smith, 6 solo tackles led the way. That was equaled by Paul Posluszny. Telvin got credited with a sack as well. So your tackle leaders on defense on in a day where the Jags had the ball a ton. There was to be had with all the three and outs that they forced with the Denver defense today.
You mentioned Allen Robinson, 3 catches, 31 yards. That's on 10 targets today. Not an ideal setup.
Finally, we did see a flag, though, right? We saw the PI him. I don't know if I really agreed. The one, Fred, where Aqib Talib, he kind of had his hand around him.
It should have been called.
You think so? Because yeah. I didn't think he yanked him, but regardless, you can't take your helmet off and give 15 yards up to the Denver Broncos.
That's true. He was outside of 5 yards initially, and Aqib was grabbing him before he even threw the ball. Mm-hmm. He let him go, then he re-engaged.
Yeah, well, so I'm probably looking at when he re-engaged, because right at the end, it didn't look like he was pulling.
He should have gotten the call. And the refs, they have to understand that this kid's been fighting the whole year.
Yep.
He's a big body. They haven't been calling it. So that automatically should alert the refs, hey, this kid is getting beat up. So he should get more PI calls than he's getting. It's just bad officiating. I can say it. They won't say it much.
I hear you.
But he has to be a cooler head there. and not get the 15-yard unsportsmanlike in a critical situation considering how well your defense was playing.
And yet the defense held them there, right, too. You know, right. I mean, again, a bad situation, yeah, to put them in, but they were able to force the punt. But still, at that time, field position pretty critical as well.
Right.
Ground game today, what, 150-something yards, 154 yards on the ground today, 55 for Yeldon, 53 for D-Rob, no Chris Ivory, you knew that going in today. And they didn't really use Yeldon until a little bit into the ball game, right, today. Overall, what did you think of the run game?
I thought they ran the ball well. I mean, they came out with 4.1 a carry. Can't ask for anything more than that. Denard, again, as I said, he was one cut downhill. He was getting a tough 3-4 yards a carry. They ran well. They didn't hurt the team. Again, the penalties, I think that hurt the team more than anything on 3rd and 6, the Telvin penalty.
Yep.
That extended that drive. And then a late hit out of bounds on a punt return that put the ball at midfield, and they took 7 from Telvin's penalty and 3 from that penalty. The offense, they could play better. The run game was there, what we've been searching for. But, again, the turnovers, can't have those. Can't have those.
Can't have them at all. We'll come back and vote for a Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game today. The final score, 20-10. The Broncos win it in Week 13 over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along after the loss in Week 13 for the Jags. 20-10 the final score. Broncos now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10 with their 7th consecutive loss. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time now to choose a Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game today. And offensively, it's going to be tough to find. Defensively, you could go a number of different ways here, guys, because the defense overall played pretty well, but no takeaways, so there's nobody really to skew the results there. So, that said, the voting, I'll get a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half because he's Fred. So, who wants to start this week? I am not going to start this
week. I'll go.
Go ahead.
I got one. I'll go with Neil Sterling.
Okay.
Before somebody else grabs him. And you know what? It's fine if you do, but 6 targets. He caught 5 of them, almost caught the 6th one spectacularly with one hand for 43 yards. It wasn't much, but you know, he made the most of his opportunities out there today on a day when he led the Jags in receiving. Nobody else had more than 3 catches on the day. As good as the defense played collectively, I didn't think there was one particular player that merited nomination above everybody else. So I'll go with Neil Sterling.
Okay, Neil Sterling is in. Fred, go ahead.
I'm going to just hop on Mike's bandwagon. Woo-hoo! Here. I mean, I don't have a choice. I think before we came back out of break, I was talking about Neil was one of the guys I should have added on the guys that I would like to see in the remaining 4 weeks. Again, he's out there. I think he's dynamic after he catches the ball. He's not the greatest blocker, but he gets in the way. He can do enough to get in the way. No one on defense jumped out, warrants a vote. So, Neil, he has my vote.
Let's make it unanimous then. Neil Sterling, the tight end, former wide receiver, converted to tight end, is the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game today. Sterling in his 2nd year out of Monmouth, a 7th round pick for the Jags in 2015 today. What a day. Good day for him. 6 targets, 5 catches, 43 yards for the Jags in the loss to the Denver Broncos. We'll come back with the injury report. Unfortunately, a few other guys nicked up for the Jags today, an already banged up football team. We'll break it down when we return. 20-10, Broncos win it over the Jaguars in Week 13. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. 20-10, the final. Broncos win it over the Jags in Week 13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time to get into the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And a lot of names popped up today. Let's start, though, with Blake Bortles with the dive for a first down. Great play to get for that first down, but he fell on that right shoulder. You could tell right after that it was a little bit of an issue for him. And even on, like, the 4th down touchdown run, yeah, he used his legs and got there, but I don't know how willing he really was to throw the ball much after that point in the game. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was tough to tell because, you know, he's been dealing with this anyway, and he certainly aggravated it at that point in time. And, you know, Fred, I'm not going to make an excuse for Blake because we've seen him miss high a lot this year prior to getting hurt. But I do wonder, you know, if the injury, it has to impact his accuracy a little bit. Again, I'm not, you know, whitewashing what went down. today. It's just, for me, it's impossible to evaluate how much was due to the shoulder, how much was just due to this as the continuation of the kind of season that Blake's been having.
Now, I agree with you on that, Mike. For me, if I were the coach, understanding that my quarterback is injured, they're running the ball fairly well and playing great defense. You got a very good punter. Why put him in those situations? I think that's all I should say about that.
Other injuries today, Denard Robinson at one point left with an ankle injury, Marquise Lee with a left hand or wrist type of injury, and Ngakoue with that same ankle that he left the game with last week was out at one point. Even Neil Sterling, who we talked about, was kind of nursing a hip. Dan Scuda, an elbow injury, was questionable to return. Peyton Thompson, an ankle injury. Linder Early missed some plays,
right,
opening drive, and then came back into the ball game as well. And then you throw in the guys that weren't in there today. A hamstring injury for a running back, Fred, as you know, is not an ideal setup for Chris Ivory. And obviously we don't know how bad it is. It was bad enough not to go today.
Right. The hamstrings, I think that's the most tricky injury in all of sports. One day it can feel great, and coach, I'm ready to go. You can even get out there and run 10 plays. That 11th play, it can strain or pop it again. As soon as you exert a certain amount of torque and energy and push, they can just go. A lot of times, they can press up on the nerves where the strains are. And for me, that was always the case with my hamstring that I was going in and out of the lineup with. So they can be tricky, but the one thing you have to do is just be patient and try and let it heal. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of time in the season remaining. But
yeah, four games left.
Smart. He still has to be smart, though.
No doubt. I mean, he's signed around here for a while. It's not like he's going anywhere, right, Chris Ivory? I mean, has he done enough to – what has he proven to you this year, Fred, when he's been out there?
I'm a fan of Chris. When he's out there, he's running hard, running downhill, dragging some defenders. Have I seen enough to warrant, why he was brought in as a free agent and getting the contract that he got? In all fairness to the team, I can say I haven't seen enough. But in all fairness to Chris, he hasn't been out there, and I understand that more than anyone. Part of me wants to say, well, you give him another opportunity, because he is a good runner. He's a starter in this NFL.
Yeah, Pro Bowl.
Right, yeah. And the other part of me wants to say, you can bring in three guys that are cheaper and do it by committee and put that money somewhere else. But I don't make those decisions.
Now, I'm with Fred. I mean, look, I think Chris Ivory is an effective runner. We started to see him, when healthy, start to come on a little bit. But that's the problem, when healthy, right? And it hasn't been a case of very much health and much availability for Chris
his
Ivory
running
this
style.
Year.
His running style, he's going to, endure those things. So, but like I said, they're going to make the right decisions in the front office.
Hope so.
That is. Well, we do hope so. I like Dave. I think he's made some good decisions, brought some good players in here. He's got to find a way to take it from we're great on paper, which led to great expectations this year, to we can't win a game. But again, the turnovers, you don't factor those in when you're drafting and when you're saying how good we are on paper and when you're going through training camp practices. It only matters on Sunday between those lines for 60 minutes. So if you can't control that, you're going to lose a lot of games.
It's disappointing that Blake Bortles has not cut down the turnovers this year, but it's surprising to me that the defense hasn't created more because the pass rush has been there at times. And you got a play like today, Fred, you got Tashaun Gibson, who is a known playmaker on defense, and he has got to be pressing a ball. As you mentioned earlier, Ramsey tips that thing up. You got three defensive backs in the area, including Ramsey, and a ball goes right to Tashaun Gibson. And who knows, because there's really no other Denver Broncos around. If Demaryius Thomas doesn't make the tackle, he may be running it back 30, 40 yards, maybe more the other way. And it just seems like the Jags just, I don't know what it is, where they're not getting their hands on the ball enough. Right. They're not winning enough for the 50-50 balls, whatever it is. They're not getting enough consistent pressure. They're just not creating them.
Yeah, they're not anywhere near where the ball bounces. And the good thing is they're not completely out of character, meaning, as you said, pressing. Guys can become selfish when they feel, hey, it's my opportunity to take a shot. I haven't got a turnover yet. I got to take a shot. Then you create a worse situation. But they haven't really done that, which is a credit to them. They're still firing off and playing steady, man. They've been steady. It hasn't been pretty, Definitely not last week with the big plays or even Detroit. But other than those two games, really hadn't been any real big plays against them. You know, I think that what's put them in bad situations is the offense. You know, relinquishing field position, turning the ball over. The defense now has to go to change pace, change of possession. And that hurts the defense. It tires you out and wears you down. But with the new bodies in there, the fact that they aren't giving up a lot of points. You know, the scoreboard might show something, but the offense is giving up a lot of those points.
That's right.
And sometimes even special teams. So, I mean, I like that defense. I like, and those young guys that are out there, they're only going to be better next year because their sense of awareness is going to expand, and they're going to feel a lot more confident in their abilities, what they can do. Now they can get out there and make some of those plays. I've seen it happen. I've been on that side of the fence before, so hopefully it'll come to fruition next year for those guys, and they'll be one of the top 10 defenses again. But you guys got to have the offense to follow.
There's certainly a bright future ahead for that group. But the question is, on the other side, how far away is this offense from being as effective?
I thought this year was going to be the year.
I think everybody thought
that. When I saw them sign Ivory, and when you add it to the offensive line there, I really thought that it was going to be a chance to make a move. With those receivers that we have, you know, that really hadn't done the same thing they did in their first two years.
No.
You know, I don't know how long it's going to be because I thought this year was that year. So always back to the drawing board. Let's see, you know, what gaps you need to fill in. Offensive line, yes. You know, do you go tight end again and take some money off the table?
I think they might go with the young guys, go with the Sterling Koyak combo, honestly.
I think you get creative.
I don't see Julius Thomas back here. I don't make those calls,
right.
But I find it hard to believe for the level of production. What does he have, like 30 catches on the year, JP? I think it's 30 for right around 300 yards for what you're paying him. I'm not saying it's all Julius's fault. It's just the circumstance,
right.
And you're going to have Allen Robinson coming up for a contract extension. You're going to have Marquise Lee coming up for a contract extension, and you're going to want to keep those guys around as your young core draft picks. I don't think you can pay three receivers and the tight end kind of top of the market money and keep that thing on the right side of the salary cap.
Right, I agree. There's some good tight ends out there, you know, regardless of what happens here. Again, we don't make those decisions, but there are some good tight ends out there. And if I had to look at the offense and say, what can I shave off, you know, to create more space, I mean, that would be the first choice. But again, just speculating. I don't want to stir up anything. So
we don't. Yeah, you know, we could say it till we're blue in the face. Again, we don't make that call.
That's not right.
You know what? Dave Caldwell is gonna, or whomever is gonna make that decision down the stretch.
Yeah, and a lot of questions around number five too, and his performance coming up down the stretch as well. We'll come back, discuss that a little more, and preview next week's game against the Minnesota Vikings. The Jimmy Smith game. He'll be inducted into the pride of the
Jaguars. Smooth, Jace, move.
Well, it's all coming back.
Ready for that.
This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The kick is up. It's good!
It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse Subs. You could score a free Firehouse Sub when you register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs.
Jaguars fans, are you ready to up your checking game? Game on. The Jaguars Visa debit card, available exclusively at EverBank, is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account. With your Jaguars Visa debit card, you'll get unlimited ATM reimbursements nationwide when you maintain a minimum average daily balance of $5,000. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a financial center near you or find us online at everbank.com/JagsCard. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank, member FDIC.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
When your business is construction and you get a big job that has to be done in record time, you need to get the ball rolling, which means all of a sudden you're looking to buy enough sheetrock and lumber, steel, and other materials quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Jaguars postgame continues 20-10 the final. Broncos, a winner over the Jags in week 13. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Final segment, if you're listening on our flagship station. The scoreboard show is next, including your calls. I know, Fred, you want to stick around for that, don't you? No, maybe not. That's okay.
Can I take one call?
They'd love to talk to you.
They would.
You can. You're welcome to
you're
stick
welcome
around
to stick
every week.
We'll discuss that coming
sure.
up. Before we went to break, we mentioned the defense playing well. There's something going there. You got to find something on offense. But, guys, it comes down to number five. He's playing through a shoulder thing. That's pretty obvious now, especially when he went diving for that first down today. And the effectiveness statistically is what it is. It wasn't there today. 181 yards, two interceptions, 11 pick sixes for the career. He's got four games left in this season. You've got to determine as an organization whether you want to give him a fifth year before next season starts. So in that regard, these four games are critical to define whether he's the guy around here, really. Do you feel the same way, Fred?
You know, I get this all the time. My friends, they ask me how good, you know, is Blake Bortles. And I'm a fan of Blake. I mean, I saw some great things. I saw potential last year. You know, his rookie year was his rookie year. So we say, he's making rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Then last year he's shown that, man, I can really get out there and throw the ball. But I never thought to think of a lot of those plays were when they were down and teams were playing mm-hmm. prevent defense. So it's a lot easier. His stats were high. This year, he definitely went backwards. Is he that guy to answer your question? I'd be willing to at least wait on next year and see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the right thing to do. He's, you know, he's been through, what is it, two coordinators with this third coordinator
yeah,
so far?
This is his third coordinator.
And I think that with Hackett, with Nate there, some pick six has been in there, but I think that he's settled down just a little bit. It was more all over the place with previous OCs, but I think they're trying to just manage him a little bit. If I was his OC, can I say that?
Yeah, go ahead. Offensive coordinator, Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor. I'm in my office OC mindset. I mean, I just think he's a big body. I get him on the edge a little bit more. I would just continuously – every single day, just check down. Like, we got a great defense. He has to understand that. You have a defense that's in the top five, six statistically, and you got to understand that. And some of those plays you got to hold on to. Just take a sack, man, punt it, and live to play another day. I mean, until he gets that in his head, he's going to continue to struggle. So,
jury's out still, it sounds like.
I think it's out big time. I really do. And I think it depends on what the coaching staff looks like heading into the offseason. I mean, because I think we've talked about this, guys, over the last few weeks. If you had league average quarterback play right now, you might have a 500 football team. And a 500 football team in the AFC South is a challenger for the division title. And, you know, so can you go into next year potentially letting Blake, you know, seeing, let's hope it turns around, right? And that's what it would be right now, would be hope. I don't question the guy's toughness. He's super tough. The guy is clearly injured, and he's playing through it. But I do question his effectiveness, and it's been that way all season long, pre-injury as well. So I think there's a lot to be determined about the quarterback position still in Jacksonville.
We talk about Blake, and you say he's not the top of it. He's not even in the top half of the league.
He's been bad this year for most of the year.
But when you look at it, what else is out there? Who else is out there?
Well,
backups, starters that might be on a team that that organization potentially might not want to pay a guy. I don't see any candidates out there.
I don't know. It's too early to know who's going to be available in free agency. You know, there's some name. I'm not trying to necessarily replace a guy. I just think that I'm not going to – if I'm the coach in this situation, I'm not going to believe that – I'm not going to count on it's going to turn around. I'm going to create some competition this offseason wherever I can, Fred. I'm not saying it's a great market out there or, you know, what kind of draft pick you might invest or whether you give Brandon Allen a chance to show what he's got in the offseason. I want to create – real competition for Blake Bortles and see how he responds to it.
I think I know a way you can, well, on top of that, just go and make a cut up of all of the junk plays, all of the bad plays. Every pick six since he's been in the league, you know, just pull up a plays where he's thrown interceptions if they're not, just look at this.
Right.
This is what you cannot do. You know, in the heat of the this is what you cannot do.
Right.
Take a sack. You know, if you feel that this is going to develop into something bad, just take a sack, because you invested a lot in defense. So I mean, you have to learn that. If you don't turn the ball over, you're playing great offense and great defense at the same time. But I think situationally, he hadn't been great. Situationally, knowing down and distance, the time that's left on the clock, the time in the game that it is, you just. Everything that he does just seems like, oh, man, the timing is just bad for this to happen right now. You know, so he just has to be better at managing the game. That's my opinion.
We'll have a chance again next week. The Minnesota Vikings come to town. A lot happening, starting with the Legends of Wrestling. They'll be here. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Nasty Boys, and Ric Flair will be here for a pregame party. Jaguars.com/wrestling for tickets. Also, the Pride of the Jaguars induction for Jimmy Smith. Jay Smooth is going on the wall next week, and I know, Fred, you're pumped.
I'm excited for Jimmy. I mean, he's waited on this. I mean, he deserves it. He's been patient. The fans have been, you know, waiting on it. Hopefully I don't shed a tear.
Oh, you will.
It's all right if you do.
I mean...
That's your guy, man.
But someone might make a meme of me. I might be all over the internet.
That's true.
So
crying Freddy.
Be careful. So, but no, I'm excited for Jimmy. A long time he's waited for this. Definitely more than deserving of it. There's gonna be a lot of guys in town. I think they said over 60 guys are coming back for it.
Wow.
So that's big. And Jimmy means a lot to a lot of guys. So I mean, he helped my career. Because if I didn't get, you know, a lot of those cover twos to try and double Jimmy, I don't get as many yards as I got in my career, and that's honest. So I'm excited. Can't wait.
We'll look forward to that next week. Fred, well done. We'll
Thank
see
you, boss.
Fred Taylor. Mike Dempsey.
See you, Fred.
For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. The Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato, producers. If you're listening on our flagship station, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is coming up next. The final score, Broncos 20. Jaguars 10 on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
J.P. Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show, here we go. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number after the Jags fall in Week 13 to the Denver Broncos. 20-10, the final score. Here we go again.
It's official now,
J.P. It is officially eliminated. The Jaguars are done. If they weren't already, they are now. And they've dropped 7 in a row. And it's a game that the Jaguars offense couldn't get a lot done today. Now, the Jaguars' defense did. They had a very good day, but no takeaways. The Jags' offense turned it over 3 times, including an interception returned for a touchdown that really turned the tide in the game. But there were chances to get back in this thing late, and they just couldn't do it today. Another similar game to the Kansas City game or a handful of other games this year where you give up key interceptions, key turnovers, and, you know, you get them off the field on third down all day long and just can't finish it.
No, you're right. Similar story, similar script, some minor details are different every week, but it's just, I got to believe, one of the most incredibly frustrating periods of Jaguar football, maybe ever, honestly, because of expectations and where they were. Yeah. You know, we talked about that a little bit this week. Is this the most disappointing season in Jaguar history? You could argue 2000, coming off the 14-2 year, and, you know, injuries caught up with them and things kind of fell apart there, and they weren't able to make that same kind of run. But, you know, to go backwards and to be where they are through three quarters of the season right now, JP, I don't think many people, no matter how pessimistic you are about Jaguar football, and some people have had it beaten into them, I don't think many people expected this. You've got Blake Bortles now, has, in the period of time he's been in the league, has been the fastest to 11 pick sixes in his career. It's a weird stat, but, you know, he's thrown 11 passes that have been returned for touchdowns the other way, and he's only won 10 games. It's difficult to do for a guy who was drafted that highly. You know, you usually don't hang on to your job that long if you have those kind of returns, but that's their guy, and that's who they're going with. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this on and off the air. Dave Caldwell believes in Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
We believe that confidence is still there. We know he thinks he's a really tough guy. We think that, you know, he thinks the potential is still there for him to get this thing turned around, but it's got to happen, right? I mean, the wishing and the hoping and the belief has to manifest itself into better play, and right now he's nowhere near, in my opinion, where he should be, you know, 2.5 starting seasons into his NFL career.
We kind of monitor Twitter after the ball games from the locker room, reporters and such. Mike DiRocco of ESPN had a quote from Blake Bortles discussing the 2016 season. Quote, "It's the biggest nightmare possible," end quote. That's what Blake Bortles said after
accurate.
The game today.
Yeah.
And when that tone starts coming out, you know, it's not great for the Jags quarterback.
Right. You'd like to.
It's never really been that. You know, it's, oh, it's bad. That's the most telling quote I think we've had all year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you're right. It's probably a surprise that we haven't seen it sooner than that, to be honest with you, because we've seen these games before. We've seen this game before. Defense. Now, you know, defense wasn't perfect today, but I don't think you could ask for perfection. We're not asking for perfection from the offense. We're just asking, you know, don't beat yourselves. And we talked about that today. This is going to be a low-scoring game because of the key players out for the Jaguars and the fact that you're playing a rookie, making only a second start on the other side. You knew that points were at a premium. And you just look at that and you wonder on the pick six, what did Blake see that he threw the ball nowhere near his intended target with Roby standing right there or moving right in that spot? It's just, it's very difficult to get a grasp on it. It's not, you know, is it the easiest way to evaluate Blake when he's got one of his top receivers out, when he's got both his top two tight ends out, when he's got his top running back out, when he's got a second running back less than 100%? Well, that's life in the big city. You know, it's the way it is. That's the situation you have to deal with. We can still watch how you throw the ball, the decisions you make. He didn't make all bad decisions today, but, you know, it's the critical errors that change a football game. It's Alex Ellis hitting a guy out of bounds, a punt returner, and tacking 15 yards on into a situation like that. It's just these things that are within your own control. If you don't make the bad plays that are within your control to avoid, you know, this team could have won several more football games than they have, I believe, even with the personnel that they have right now, without much changing other than, you know, the plays that beat yourself, but they continue to make those, unfortunately.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number. Your calls when we come back. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, the Scoreboard Show rolls along. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number. We're live on Jaguars.com as well this evening. Some scores of the 4 o'clock window games. A big game in Oakland. Bills at 6-5, trying to stay alive in the AFC playoff race. They're at the Raiders, who are 9-2 and lead the way in that AFC West, and going into halftime, about 10 seconds left in the first half, the Bills have a 10-6 lead over the Raiders, though the Raiders have a second down come up. They're going to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. Janikowski's lining up as we speak. So the Bills right there on the road in Oakland against, and that could shake up that AFC West if the Raiders fall today, no doubt.
Yeah, did you see that play, by the way, a moment ago? Latavius Murray saw a player coming up trying to put their head down and make the tackle, so he went to hurdle them, and the player just backed off. So he did a midair hurdle over nobody right out of bounds. Just amusing.
Nice.
Amusing. To
Cardinals
me.
Lead the Redskins 7-3. That's 5:30 to go in the first half. 6 minutes to play in Pittsburgh in the first half. Steelers up 11-0 on the Giants. And the Chargers lead the Bucks 14-7. That's 8 minutes to go in the first half.
All right, let's get some phone calls going here on the Scoreboard Show for the first time today. 355-NFL1, 355-6351 is the number. We'll start with Mark first up today. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Great, thanks.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Good. I wanted to talk about Blake Bortles and his discipline to the game. I mean, if y'all look at Twitter, I don't know how often y'all look at Twitter, but y'all see these tweets about how it's beach farms Blake and how often Blake goes out to the beach farms.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
Yeah.
All right. It's the same guy who called 2 weeks ago. I'm telling you. Give me.
I don't even think we need to go there. It's
honestly,
just not even right.
I won't go there, but you're wrong about this. I'll say you're wrong about this because speaking to people in the organization, they're aware of what's being said on Twitter. Anyone can say anything about anyone on Twitter.
Yeah.
You would think in the day of every person carrying a camera in their pocket, otherwise known as a cell phone, there'd be ample photographic and video evidence of what you're talking about if it actually was occurring. Let's move along.
Yeah, let's move along. That's
honestly,
probably the best thing.
I mean, this
for both of us.
Nonsense. Sabir is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Sabir.
How you doing?
Good man.
Thanks.
How are you?
I'm fine. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. They got a quarterback. They might. I think they'll do a whole lot better. Because this quarterback, for 2 or 3 years, he's been trying to improve, and they do the same thing every game. They got a quarterback. Yeah, they're good. Defense is pretty good. They guys seem to have pretty good talent, but can't get the ball to the middle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, the defense, that's the next step for the defense is getting some takeaways, right? I mean, that's the only thing left on the defensive side right now. They're
right.
Getting off the field on third down again, and, boy, if they could just balance out some of these turnovers on the other side, which is a lot to ask, yeah, but.
I think his main point is the main point, though. Do they have their quarterback?
That's
is this
great
the guy?
I
don't.
I was avoiding
and,
the first.
And well, and you know, it's going to be the point. It's going to be the topic of discussion.
I know it is.
Of the offseason, and I think legitimately so. And I'm not saying that the team doesn't believe that they have their guy, but he better play like he's the guy next year. If he is in fact given that opportunity to do that, you can't. You're going to waste another season. If you have another year like this, you're going to waste the season of the primes of the career, JP, with the nucleus of the young guys all together. You're going to start to see some of these guys come up for contracts. You're not going to be able to – it's impossible to keep a very talented group together for too long in the National Football League.
Yep.
You see teams that have continual success because they have stability at the quarterback position. The other pieces can come and go. You've got a lot of good pieces, particularly on defense right now. I think you still have a lot of good pieces on offense as well. And I've said it many times, and it bears repeating. Average quarterback play has this team with an average record this year. And an average record is not – 2-10, it's 6-6.
Yeah, it's right.
It's middle of the road, in the mix, in the hunt.
In this division, yes,
and maybe in the wild card chase or whatever. But you're competitive. You're winning games, and that hasn't been what they've gotten this year. So I think it is fair to ask: can he be that guy that people need him to be, that the team needs him to be?
But then there are other times, outside of the pick sixes and all that, where he makes really nice throws.
Okay, but. Blaine Gabbert made some really nice throws on occasion.
I agree with that.
He's 2-10 this year.
Yeah, but there's something there. That's the thing, right? Can you bring it out
There are several things there. There's the gunslinger Blake that last year made a lot of big plays, fearlessly throwing downfield. You've got the mobile Blake who is fearless and willing to throw his body out there and pick up first downs. There's a lot of good qualities to Blake, but unfortunately, as we said, there's the devastating beat your own team Blake Bortles you cannot, it doesn't balance out. Just because you can throw a bunch of touchdowns, when you're giving up scores to the other team and doing it at the frequency in which he's doing, it is almost impossible to overcome. So there is something there, but you could say defensive coordinators around the league are saying, yeah, there's something there, and we see it on film every week, and we're exploiting it right now. There's good somethings, there's bad somethings. Who's the real Blake Bortles, or is it a mix of this? Because this level of play is nowhere near where they need or what they need to get where they want to go.
Will the real Blake Bortles please stand up? Well,
maybe he is.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is. We and that's to be determined. You know, I mean, he's going to ride out the rest of the season. You're not going to have a healthy Blake the rest of the way, so that's going to impact the evaluation of him. But, you know, I think that for people out there that they feel like they're seeing the real Blake Bortles, they're going to say, look, he was playing poorly before he got injured. So, and I think that's a legitimate criticism.
The Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More of your calls when we return. A 2010 final, Broncos over the Jaguars in Week 13. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number to get in on the Scoreboard Show. 2010, the final score. The Jags dropped their seventh consecutive game. The Broncos are 8-4, and boy, with what's going on at the top of the division today with the Raiders in a little bit of a ball game with the Bills, the Raiders fall all of a sudden. Boy, that division is getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
No doubt.
The Chiefs won today to keep pace. They're 9-3 now with a 29-28 win in the craziest way possible, by the way, against the Falcons. The Falcons scored a touchdown to go up one, 28-27. They were going for two to make it a three-point game. It was intercepted and returned for 2 points and the lead for the Chiefs.
Yep.
Eric Berry also had an interception return for a touchdown in the game. That's how the Chiefs won. A 2-point conversion return for a touchdown. Return for two.
That's a big road win for Kansas City right there. Kansas City has a really good division record in the AFC West. They've got a head-to-head victory over the Raiders already. So if they can beat them the next time they play, they're likely going to win that division and likely going to get a first-round bye in the playoffs. So if you're the Raiders, this is a critical game today to get one against the Buffalo Bills. Otherwise, you fall out of first place, at least temporarily right now.
Yeah, and then the Broncos' view of this game today was they needed this game against the Jags.
Had to have it.
They got
to
have next week's in Nashville against Tennessee, and then it gets real tough because they have the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Raiders to close out the season, and that is about a tough of a trio right now in the league.
Yep, and, you know, in the AFC South, well, both teams that played today lost. So Houston lost, and so, you could have a sub-500 division champion in the AFC South this year.
Yeah.
And, again, for the second consecutive year, this division just absolutely wide open for the taking, and the folks here in the 904 unable to grasp it. Let's get Wes up next at 355-6351. Hello, Wes. How are you?
Hey, guys. Join the show as always. Just want to talk about a thing that exemplifies the coaching. In that second series, we ran the ball twice for 9 yards. We had a 3rd and 1, and I always thought the reason you try to get good yards when you're running so you'd have a 3rd and 1 or a 3rd and 2 and you could run the ball again, but not us. We decided to pass it, so you're going to pass it on 3rd and 1, you think Bortles would get under center, we do a play action, but not us. We go straight to the shotgun. So if they were going to throw shotgun on 3rd and 1, we'd throw something that might work, but not us. We go to the same fade pass down Robinson we just missed about 3 minutes earlier. So how can anybody explain that, guys?
I hated the play call. You're right. I mean, you laid it out pretty well there, too. I mean, Allen Robinson had Chris Harris draped on him on that play. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Blake, use your legs. I mean, it was clearly designed. We're going to go to Allen Robinson. I don't know if it was supposed to be a back shoulder or whatever, but they had tried that same play or a similar one up the sideline. And, again, Harris was all over Allen Robinson.
I think that's how we all felt in the studio when it happened.
What's going on here? It's a yard. You're moving the ball against a team that's their weakness, right? And let's throw into the strength of their defense, and it's almost like it was predetermined that's going to A-Rob regardless. I get it, he's a big guy, he can win 50-50 balls and all that, but Denver's got the best pair of corners in the league, and either one of those guys in that situation is looking for that play coming to Allen Robinson, and you know they're quite content to leave those guys out on the island because they make plays.
Yeah,
we saw it again today. You're right. That's a head scratcher right there. Absolutely. You know, whether under center or not, you can run effectively out of shotgun if that's what you do at times. That part doesn't bother me as much, but the actual call didn't like it. Set the tone. It's early in the football game. Push them around at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think in general, it's a yard. You want to push it around, maybe sneak it up in there.
Yeah,
do something
fine. That's
like
fine.
That.
I'm
That's
fine with that.
But if it worked, we wouldn't be talking about
look,
it.
Look, I get you don't necessarily want to sneak your quarterback with a bad shoulder, right,
I'm
in
that
circumstance.
That.
But, all right, turn around and hand it to the tailback and right up the gut, and let's get behind Brandon Linder, and let's set a tone early and show Denver that this is what you're in store for all day, Wes. Totally agree with you on that. Let's get Danny up here next on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
All right.
I'm going to change it up on you a little bit.
All
so
right.
From the earlier in the day when they were giving out the game balls, which, first off, I don't think you should be giving out game balls when you lose, but if we're going to do that, I think they really overlooked Jalen Ramsey. I mean, the one pass he knocked down, and then he got burned bad for the pass that should have been a touchdown. And he came back, recovered, and knocked the ball away. I think the guy played lights out today. You know, we got to look for some positives. I think that's one we overlooked.
All right. That's fair.
It's a good call. Yeah, there's no doubt he made that play down the field. The ball was underthrown a bit, but he came back and made the play anyway to knock it away.
But he was beat on that.
Yeah,
I hate to tell you, he was
good
beat.
Throw. He's
Paxton Lynch, so from what I've seen, maybe the worst deep ball thrower in the league. He tries to throw it higher than he throws it far. It's
Gosh,
unbelievable the how much
one,
air he puts under it.
The one should have been intercepted. The Ramsey and
terrible.
The Tashaun back there. Just
but again, and that is, partly a product of Paxton Lynch throws these mortar balls down the field, and so you know you got three defensive backs congregating waiting for the ball to get there. Ramsey, look, you're right. It's not like we're giving out juice boxes here. We do a player of the game regardless. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're trying to pat everyone on the back, make them feel better about it. We pick a player of the game in victory or defeat, and that's just the way it goes. Try to point out some good and some bad, because not just because you lose doesn't mean everyone performed poorly. So Ramsey, maybe we should have recognized him for what he did today.
And I got some news for you, Mike. If we did it in wins only, we wouldn't be doing it often.
We would not be doing it often.
Unfortunately.
We'd be saving a lot of money on juice boxes.
That's true.
Holy cow.
That's a good point.
All right.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1. We'll come back. More of your calls. Couple segments to go on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
The Scoreboard Show rolls along. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey.
Hello.
Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato answering the phones tonight. Max Hockman, producing Jaguars.com.
He's waving at me right now.
Hey, Max. Thank you for joining us this evening after the Jags fall 20-10 to the Denver Broncos. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1. If you don't get in, the scoreboard, the fifth quarter is next. T-Wig and Hacker are standing by to take your calls as well. A couple segments left here. So, Mike, how about let's get back to it?
Let's. Zach is up next at 355-NFL-1. Hello, Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Hey,
good, man.
Man.
What's up?
Hey, real quick, man. I've been calling every week, bigging up Blake Bortles like everybody else. I want to change up just a little bit and ask you guys a question. What are these coaches looking at, man, on some of these play-action plays? Why won't they let Blake keep the ball more? And my next comment, actually, is that we got to recognize that we have a pretty good defense, and we got to build on that, man. These guys, we have some real studs on defense, and I think that's just a positive thing we have to look at instead of just continuing to be beating them up every week.
I think that's fair, and I think we've done that tonight, too. The defense has been positive, and they've been a strength for this Jaguars football team this year. The one thing is they haven't had a lot of takeaways. But other than that, they've gotten off the field in key times to give the ball back to the offense late in games a number of times this year. The offense hasn't been able to do it. That's the defensive side of this thing.
Yeah, I think, too, the thing with defense is I feel like it's more consistent because it's not reliant on one person. You know what? If the quarterback doesn't play well, the offense isn't going to play
well. That's right.
Generally, right?
Yeah,
the
most
Whereas
part.
The defense, one or two guys can have an off day and other guys can kind of cover for them. So I think there's – some hope, JP, and Zach and everybody else that there will be some consistency and a lot of carryover in that department next year. You do have a lot of young guys, still young guys, that are playing well, and they're going to be that much more experienced, that much more developed. So hopefully you've got a, maybe not a finished product, but a lot closer to a finished product on that side of the football. As far as Blake, of late, they have been encouraging him to keep the ball and run it. Blake talked about that with Nathaniel Hackett. I do wonder, coming into this game, with the shoulder injury, if they said, hey, be very selective today. If you're going to do it at the key times. He did the one, and he dove and picked up the key first down, JP, and he went head first, and he landed on the shoulder. And, again, don't get it twisted that anybody here is questioning Blake Bortles' toughness and his willingness and his desire to win. The guy wants to win. I'm not trying to rip him as an individual. And all this talk about his preparation and all this, I don't doubt for a second that Blake cares about his craft and puts time into it and all these things. I really do. He's playing poorly. And I think that's fair to say. And I think he would admit that. As he said, Mike DiRocco quoted him saying it's a nightmare season. Yeah. Right? So, but I do wonder, I think if you get Nathaniel Hackett this week, if he talks about it, he may say, you know what, we asked him to maybe be a little bit more selective, and when he pulls it down and takes off with it today because of the injury situation. You know, they feel still the best chance, even banged up. You know, we've seen Chad Henne, and we know what Chad Henne is, and he's not a playmaker or a dynamic guy, and you're trying to still, you know, salvage – you know, some positivity out of the season for Blake Bortles, give him something over the last month of the season to build on going into this offseason, whether you bring in competition or not. So if from that standpoint, I do think recently we saw it. I mean, what was it, 81 yards last week, right? So it's not like they've been shy about asking him to use that aspect of his game.
There are yards there to be gained if you can't get it down the field moving forward.
Tony, who do we have now? Is it Tyrone up next? Who is that? Tyrone up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Tyrone. How are you?
Hey, good evening, guys. I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Great, right. Thanks.
All right.
Good. Just had a quick question. I'm not much of an overreactor when it comes to stuff like this. I don't really call the show much or anything, but I was wondering, winning being as important as it is, do we really still have anything to gain by playing Blake Bortles for these last four games, or would it be more beneficial to the team to go to self-scouting mode and play a guy like Brandon Allen to see what you have with the young passer?
I'm still of the opinion, and it's only my opinion, Tyrone. I know, you know, other people who are level-headed have different opinions on this. I think you play it. I do think you've got to self-scout Blake Bortles right down the stretch here, JP. You got to determine, this is a guy, you have so much invested in it. Brandon Allen's not going anywhere. They see him as much as they choose to see him in practice, right? And they can evaluate him in that regard. Nobody felt, you know, you remember, go back to Blake's rookie season when they drafted him third overall, and they said we'd prefer him sit the entire year. Now, did they panic a little bit early because the offense wasn't playing? Whatever the case, their idea was, here's a guy we're willing to spend the third overall pick, and he's far from a finished product. We don't really want to put him out there and get him beat up and make him lose his confidence and all these different things, but they're kind of forced, their hand was forced. Well, here you got a guy who's a sixth round pick, and who I think, you know, they see as a guy they can develop into a long-term NFL backup. Maybe he's got more upside than that, and who knows? Plenty of stories have been written like that. Guys were expected to be one thing, became a lot more. But if you look at it that way, that the third overall pick, they didn't feel like was going to be ready to play right away, which is not always the case. I'm going to trust their judgment because they see Brandon Allen all the time in terms of you know, they haven't even put him in position to be the direct backup behind Blake on game day, right? So if
right.
You felt, I think with a guy who's banged up, if you felt like he was ready to maybe play some reps, now would be the time to put him in kind of as the number two potentially. And maybe you'll see that over the last month at some point in time. But I think self-scouting Blake Bortles and letting him play his way through this is still the best alternative for the final month of the season.
Yeah, there are big decisions coming up down the pike here for the future of that position. And number five is the number one guy in that regard. Hey, we'll come back. One more segment to go on the Scoreboard Show. A couple more calls to go. 355-NFL-1. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. 20-10, the final. Broncos over the Jags in Week 13. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show final segment. We'll get a couple more calls in coming up. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, those of you registered are happy today, at least because you get a sub. Because Jason Myers hit a 47-yard field goal today and opened a 3-0 Jaguars lead. So congratulations.
I was having visions at the time of a 3-0 final.
I mean, you know, it wasn't far off.
We had, what, 6 punts in the first quarter, right? A lot of 3-and-outs. Defense got a bunch of 3-and-outs today, but wasn't to be. But Myers did drill that one to make your stomach a little happier.
What, 19 combined punts today? It was so many, I was starting to look up the league record for combined punts, which
far
is
– off.
31.
Right.
Which, oddly enough, this is, has nothing to do with anything. Both happened, it happened twice. 31 punts in a single game combined between the teams. It happened on the same exact day in 1933.
Two different games, same day.
Unbelievable.
You got to consult the Farmer's Almanac. There had to be some crazy weather going on that day or something, JP.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All right, we had some bad weather games today, by the way, up in Green Bay and Chicago.
Not here, baby.
No, sir. Beautiful one here. Let's get a couple more in before we turn things over to the fifth quarter at 355 NFL 1. Terrence, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Might be.
Terrence.
And, hey, JP.
Hey, Terrence, before you go any further,
sorry, Terrence.
Did you see Aguayo just miss another one from 31 yards just a few minutes ago?
No, I didn't see that, did he?
You can catch it on the highlights.
He pushed
tonight.
It right.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man. Okay, Mike, I'm going to disagree with you on about playing Brandon Allen, but let me go back to when they drafted Blake, and you took the word right out of my mouth. When they drafted Blake, they initially said he needed to sit an entire year.
Yeah,
which was not today's NFL standard. When you draft somebody that high, he's supposed to be ready to play right there. So I wonder, because they coached Derek Carr that year in that bowl game. So I wonder if there's discussion between should they draft Derek Carr as well.
I'm sure there was.
For a fact, he was in the building giving tour and stuff.
Yeah.
All those guys were all those top quarterbacks.
Yeah. So I'm sure Dave probably pushed the issue. Gus had to go with the decision, and we got to really ask, has Gus really had a fair chance with the quarterback? And today was a perfect game to show that it's the quarterback, because you had the average per carry for the running offense, for running, you had the defense that played well. So now you do know that it's the quarterback. So if you change that, do you still keep Gus? I mean, does Gus need to fall on the sword for this? And I guess that's my take.
Well, look. All right, Terrence. Look, that's a fair question to ask you. You know, it's becoming more the minority opinion, because simply when you look at Gus's coaching record, you find it hard to believe that he's going to be able to survive the one-loss mark at the end of the year. We don't make that call. It's not our decision to make, ultimately. That'll be a Dave Caldwell, we assume, with the blessings of Shad Khan decision to make. That's a heavy-duty decision you make for any organization. You can make that argument for Gus, but in the end, I just, you know, whatever the circumstances, 14 wins, what is it now, 45, 46 loss?
I stopped keeping up.
I know. It's tough for me to imagine that it's going to.
It's 46.
14
you
and 46.
Can get to 50.
Thanks, Tony.
If they lose out,
that's
it would
correct.
Be 14 and 50 if they lose out.
Let's try not to get there.
All right, so Terrence, you know, I don't know what to tell you on that score. You know, Blake also last year set the mark, and people, you know, look. I'm aware of all the circumstances. You feel like you bring this up, you have to go through every contingency with this. He threw for the most yards and the most touchdowns in a single season in Jaguar history. So by some measures, he was playing okay last year, and you still weren't winning games. And now, granted, he led the league in interceptions, and you can argue did a lot of that come in the fourth quarter or they're behind or whatever. But nevertheless, no Jaguar quarterback has ever put up those numbers.
Not even close. Yeah.
Right. So, again, these are all things that will be determined about a month from now.
You
know,
that's right.
Let's get James in to close it out on our end of it here, JP. Hello, James. You're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Great, thank you.
All right.
How are you?
I just wanted to comment because it's basically we're talking about offense being the problem. Do you think that the Jags have the running back they want on roster, or do you think it's just more the offensive line? Because I think that if the Jags got the ball, you know, the running game really going, it would help Blake Bortles out. Just like down there in Miami, people were ready to run out Tannehill. But once they got that running game going, they stopped talking about, you know, Tannehill leaving town. So what do you guys think on that? Thanks.
Well, thanks for the call. They made no bones about it early this season that they wanted to be a running football team mm-hmm. that threw off the run. And it started, remember the first couple of weeks, Chris Ivory wasn't available because it was a private health issue. He wasn't around. So you had to go to T.J. Yeldon, a guy that they drafted and they're confident in, yeah. But the idea was to have two guys working simultaneously, working one play in, one play out, you know, whatever, situations. It didn't start out that way. And then Ivory came back, wasn't quite, didn't seem like himself. Now, the last few weeks before this hamstring injury, you saw some flashes of what Chris Ivory could be. And that was very promising to see. And
honestly, that
was going to be the idea, is to help Blake with the run game and then play off that. They haven't been able to do that. And I think the line, the run blocking on the line has a big part to do with that.
Healthy sure. Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory doesn't get hurt. They might have won the last two games, including today.
Yes.
I'm not guaranteeing that. I don't know that. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that's a reality. Injuries happen. Do they have the right guy? Well, they targeted Chris Ivory as the guy that they wanted to bring in to compliment T.J. Yeldon. Chris Ivory was the leading rusher in the AFC last year, one of only seven 1,000-yard rushers in the National Football League. So his issue is, though, he gets beat up, right? It's his physical running style in part. Now, the hamstring, I don't know if it was because of the physical running style. It may have just been bad luck. But, yeah, there's no question not having a running game is a negative impact on Blake Bortles. They didn't really have much of a running game last year.
No.
And he threw 35 touchdowns and 4,400 yards last year. Now, again,
and if he ran the ball better early in the game, he wouldn't have to throw for all that late in the game.
Perhaps
that's the other
so.
Argument.
Right. I mean, you can go round and round and round. There are a lot of things not working well on offense. It's not just Blake Bortles' fault. The reason we focus in on him is because he is the guy who touches it on every single play, and no one single position in sports dictates more of a team's outcome than quarterback in the National Football League. So it's not a one-man game. It's not all Blake's fault when they lose, but he, to me, his step back this year, and as he put it, the nightmare season that he's having and the team is having, I think more blame can be laid at Blake's feet than any other single player on this football team. Fair enough. When you're the quarterback, you accept a large share of the credit when you win, and you also get a large share of the blame when you lose, and that's just the way it is, and Blake knows that.
That's the way it is, again, for the seventh straight week for the Jaguars. They fall. This time a 20-10 loss to the Denver Broncos. Denver now 8-4, right there in the hunt in the AFC West. The Jags are 2-10 with four games left to go. Well done, Mike. We'll talk to you this week. Look forward to Jaguars today.
Yes, sir.
Should be interesting, to say the least. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, Max Hockman, our entire crew. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching on Jaguars.com and listening on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show. The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. Final score 20-10. The Broncos over the Jags on Jaguars Radio.